more than 100 times in the New Testament, we find a word which is typically translated church. If we were to look at each place in the New Testament where this word is found, there are some ideas that we would not find. We would never find the idea or a statement which would say it was cold, it was hot in the church today. Now, I sometimes hear that from society, perhaps after they have attended a wedding, people will come out and say, well, it was hot in the church today, it was cold in the church today. That's not found in the Bible. Others might say, well, the church always wants money. That statement is never found in the Bible. Or a person might say, these are my church friends. Or we might hear, I have a church home. Or someone might say, we go to church. Our world frequently uses the word church in a variety of ways. But if we look at the word church as it's used in the Bible, the way that the word church is commonly used is simply not consistent. It is completely foreign to the Scriptures. This morning, if you're unaware of it, we have a second service scheduled immediately after lunch. Because of the way that today is arranged, I want to, in this lesson and in the lesson that follows lunch, deal with just one topic. In the two lessons for today, this being part one, I intend to examine every passage in the New Testament which deals with the word church. That means that that is more, that's about 115 passages in two sermons. Some of these verses will need to be dealt with, obviously, fairly rapidly, so that is why I offered an outline. So if you normally write things down, you have the outline and can get all the passages. The first time we find the word church in the Bible is in the book of Matthew, Matthew 16, verse 18. This is a passage which is likely familiar to us. Jesus said, I will build my church. This is one of the verses which illustrates what the church, the word church means. The Lord, we know, was a carpenter. The church that Jesus built was not something that was made of stone or siding or any other building material. It was not brick and mortar. Jesus created a body of people. He created just one body of people, the saved, because the word church in Matthew 16, verse 18, is singular. I will build my church, not churches. When men today speak about churches or churches they perhaps established, they often name the individual who established them. But the Bible says there is only one church, Matthew 16, verse 18. And the builder of that one church, Jesus says, the builder is me. If people are not part of that one church, which was built by Christ about 2,000 years ago, they're part of the wrong one. After Matthew 16, verse 18, the Bible uses the word church two more times in the book of Matthew. That's Matthew 18, verse 17. Here the Lord talked about a problem between someone and a fellow Christian. And the Lord, as he goes through the steps to resolve the kind of issue that he described there, he said, you may need to take the issue to the church. Now imagine that. Imagine someone walking up to a building which they think of as the church, and they start talking to the bricks and the mortar about a people problem. We probably think they were insane. Jesus said, take it to the church. He didn't mean a church building. But he meant, obviously, Matthew 18, verse 17, you take it to the body of people. The body, the church, describes the called out, a specific group of people. Sometimes, Matthew 18, 17, God's church will face problems. God wants harmony in the church, and Matthew 18, verse 17 describes how that can be accomplished. So three times, Matthew 16, verse 18, Matthew 18, 17, two times there, three times in the book of Matthew we have the word church. Mark doesn't use the word church. Luke doesn't use the word church. John doesn't use the word church. So we really have to get five books deep into the New Testament before we really begin to read about the church. Now, if you have the King James translation or some other versions, you may find the word church in Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Because of a manuscript variation, not all of our versions have the word church there, but some do. It's in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, that the Bible says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Another translation, such as the ASV that I have with me this morning, that says to them instead of the church. But the church is not a building. And we see that from Acts chapter 2, verse 47. It's also not an organization that people can be voted into. In Acts 2, verse 47, the Bible says it was the Lord. It was Jesus who adds people to his church. Well, that makes sense. If Christ built the church, Matthew 16, verse 18, then he should be the one that is authorized. He should be the one who adds people to the church. The people who are added to the church, as we continue to look at the word church, and I'm going to give you the passages that use this word in the sequence that they come, those who enter the church have great love and great respect for the Lord, the head of the church. After Acts 2, verse 47, the Bible uses the word church in Acts chapter 5, verse 11. There the text says that great fear came upon some people. Who did the fear come upon? The Bible says that great fear came upon all the church. The church, as we begin to see where this word occurs, and we begin to study what is said about this word, it is the most interesting or at least one of the most interesting topics that we find in the entire Bible. You see, the church consists of a special group of people. And this special group of people have all come to the same Lord. They've all come to the same Lord in the same way. They're all trying to live in the same manner. And, of course, they're all trying to go to the same place, that is heaven. As you begin to think about the church in those terms, someone might say, well, you know, that reminds me a little bit of the Old Testament. That definition that was just given for the church, that sounds a lot like the Jewish people under the Old Testament era. They were all a special people. They were all trying to follow the same God. They're all trying to live in the same way. They're all trying to live in the same manner. Well, guess what? In Acts chapter 7, verse 38, and this is going to be one of three verses that I read this morning, we have this statement made, and the statement uses the word church. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. In Acts 7, verse 38, the Bible uses this word that is translated church, ecclesia, and it uses that word to describe Old Testament Israel. Well, we, of course, are thinking about church from a different perspective, but when we look at how this word is used in the Bible, we find from Acts 7, verse 38, that the word church was used to describe the nation of Israel. And that's perfectly right, because there would be some parallels between the Jewish people under the Old Testament and between the people who are trying to live as Christians under the New Testament. But there are also some differences between that Old Testament church, quote-unquote, and the New Testament church, which was established by Jesus. The Old Testament church, so to speak, was for the Jewish people. The New Testament church established by Christ, it is for all people. Now, one might be inclined to think that if God went to all this work to create a church which is headed by Jesus Christ, that everybody would love it. One would think that everybody would be on board with the New Testament church. But as we look at the word church, the Bible tells us that that simply is not true. The next place we find the word church is in the book of Acts, Acts 8, verse 1. I'm going to read this verse and then also follow up with Acts 8, 3. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And there arose on that day not just a persecution, but the Bible says on that day there arose a great persecution against the church which was in the city of Jerusalem. When we talk about the New Testament church, following Christ, having Christ as a head, there are some people who don't like that. There are some people who do not appreciate the New Testament church. And the hate for the church has caused some members of the church to suffer. We next find the word church in Acts 8, verse 3, and this verse is going to be read too. But Saul, the Bible says, laid waste the church, not the building, but the people. The Bible says he entered into every house. He drugged men and women and committed them to prison. Sometimes when it comes to the church, God has allowed the members of his church to suffer. People say, well, I'm a member of the church. I'm a Christian. I should not have to suffer. That's not what we find when we study the word church in the Bible. God's people, God's members of the church may suffer. But you know, as we start looking at this word church, something else is said. The Bible says the members of the church are people that God looks upon the suffering and he limits the suffering. Studying the word church now from the book of Acts, we find in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, the next chapter. Here we read about the churches, that is, the congregations of the one church in an area, receiving rest. God knows his people sometimes need relief. And if we're a member of that church, God cares about us. And he's still in the business of giving rest to his people sometimes during times of persecution. As we see what Luke says about the church, Acts 11, verse 22. He here pictures the church as being an organization which receives news. And not only an organization that receives news, but an organization that is eager to receive news about the church established by Christ. Acts 11, 22 refers to the ears of the church. This tells us that the members of Christ's church, they wanted information about the church. They wanted news about the church. In life, some are anxious to receive news or information. Maybe if we are an adult, the first thing that we do in the morning after we wake up is we try to check the morning news. Maybe it's a newspaper. Maybe it's a smartphone. Maybe it's a tablet. Maybe we're waiting for some news as far as the outcome of a sporting event or a big event. Members of the church, Acts chapter 11, are pictured as people who want to know some things about the church. What good news do we have about the church? Is there some bad news that we should be looking at or thinking about, praying about, associated with the church? You see, the church is composed of the people who have the same beliefs, the same goals. So members are interested in the church. Let's pause for just a second as far as our train of thought. And let's introduce for just a moment the idea of a name or a designation. This church that we've been looking at so far, how is it designated? Well, what should we call the members of the church which was built by Jesus Christ? The answer to that question is found in our next passage, which uses the word church. In Acts 11, verse 26, oh, we're probably familiar with that. That's a place where the Bible says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. But it's also in Acts 11, verse 26, that we have a reference to this word church. In our time, many have tried to hijack the designation Christian. All kinds of people in our world, many varying beliefs, try to say, oh, we're a Christian, they're Christians, we're all Christians. It seems now the word Christian is used to apply to just about anyone and everything. As we look at the word church, though, in the Bible, Acts 11, verse 26 begins to indicate to us that the word or the designated Christian, the name Christian, can only be applied, truly applied to one group. And that is the people who are associated with, the people who are part of the church which was built by Christ, Matthew 16, verse 18. If we seek to be a Christian, in the true sense of the word, in the sense of Acts 11, verse 26, then we are trying to be part, we are trying to be a member of that one church that Jesus adds us to, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, when we're obedient. If we do that, we're likely going to experience some hate. You see, when a person becomes part of the true church that Jesus built, a lot of people are not enthused about that. So as we study this word, which is translated church in the New Testament, the next reference where it occurs, Acts chapter 12, verse 1, it describes a man who decided that he was going to vex some members of the church. If you're a member of Christ's church, if you at some point become a member of Christ's church, you should expect to be vexed. Don't expect membership in the Lord's church to be an easy and smooth road all the time. There are going to be some challenges. And with those challenges, do you know that the Bible also says when it comes to the church that there will be some obligations? Just a few verses after we read about people being vexed in the church, Acts chapter 12, verse 1, we find the word church being used again. This time it's used in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. There the Bible says, members of the church, Christ's church, they offered unceasing prayer for the apostle Peter. Peter had been locked up. He was a member of the church that hadn't been received well. His teaching hadn't been received well, and he'd been jailed. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 says that if we are a member of the church which was built by Jesus Christ, we are also a praying church. We might be a persecuted church, but we also need to be a praying church. And with the persecution, with the prayer associated with the church that was built by Jesus, we also find that the New Testament church is a teaching church. In our time, many so-called churches entertain people. There are, even in this community, a number of religious groups who are a little more than a giant funhouse. As we look at the word church, though, as we study what this word means in the New Testament, we find that the word church is not associated with fun and games. It is a body of people bought by Jesus Christ, added by Jesus Christ, people who pray, people who worship, and people who learn. Acts 13, verse 1, the very next time that we find the word church, Luke there spoke about prophets and teachers in the church. It is a place of instruction. With the book of Acts, we begin to see again and again that the one true church is involved with teaching, not only internally, but externally, and also prayer. We've not yet seen much about the leadership of Jesus' church. So someone might say, well, what do we find when it comes to the leadership of Christ's church? We've already determined, have we not, from Matthew 16, verse 18, that Jesus is the head of the church. But as Luke continues to use this word church, we see the idea of leadership in the book of Acts, once again, this time Acts chapter 14, the verses 23. Luke there talks about elders in the church. Elders, he says, were installed in every church. The church established by Christ has that universal leadership by Christ. But it is also designed to be guided locally by men who are known as elders, presbyters, bishops, shepherds, multiple words for the same office, a process which we are now going through in this congregation. Since the church is associated with teaching and leadership and prayer, you would expect that there would be some information somewhere in the Bible about this church coming together for gatherings. And as we look at how Luke uses this word, church, the very next time it is used by him and in the Bible is Acts chapter 14, verse 27. And here in Acts chapter 14, verse 27, Luke talks about an assembly. Acts 14, 27 says they were come together and had gathered the church together. When we deal with the New Testament church, it is an organization which is described as coming together. Now, there's some people who claim that they are a member of the church. Oh, yes, I'm a member of the church. And when it is time for their funeral to be preached in the newspaper, in the obituary, they were a member of the church. They imply that they were involved with that congregation. But really, that was not true. There are people who claim to be a member of the church, but they don't want to gather with it. That is akin to a person saying, we are employed by this company, but we never show up, or we rarely show up for work. How would that work in the secular world? I am employed by this company, and I show up 5 times a year. I don't know of any business. I don't know of any company which would say that person works for us unless it was a consulting job, where perhaps there'd be 2, 3, 4 jobs per year. The church is a body of people. A body of people which is designed collectively to come together to assemble on a regular basis. It is in the same business. And that business is spreading the gospel of Christ and working together. Acts chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, two verses, and our next two verses which also use the word church. Acts 15, verses 3 and 4 talk about being brought on the way by the church and being received by the church. Sometimes as we look at organizations, and this is true maybe for a conservation club in the area or maybe for some of the other clubs, those clubs are maintained by just a few people. There are 2 or 3 or 4 people who are willing volunteers, and they step forward. They devote dozens or maybe hundreds of hours to keep little organizations alive. We've seen that. Maybe it's the campground that we know about up the road or maybe across a state line. And there is this older man. There is this old caretaker maybe hobbling around with a cane. And if it were not for him, the campground would close. Haven't we seen that? Sure. Or maybe there is a retired woman. I've seen this a few times. There is a museum. You go inside the museum, almost nobody is there. But there is this older lady at the desk, and you can tell that she's been around for a while. Her health isn't that good. But she sees as her mission life to keep that museum open. And it's barely open. Maybe she can't keep it open a full 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day. But she's doing her very best. The church built by Christ has never been designed to be kept going by a few people or a handful of retirees. Never been designed to do that. And yet sometimes I think that worldly attitude creeps into the church. The picture of the New Testament church, as we begin to study this word, is that all hands are on deck to the fullest capability that people have all the time. In fact, in our next reference, Acts 15, verse 22. Here, as Luke gives us our next church reference, he speaks about the whole church. In my mind, those words should be underlined. I think that there are some people who would be shocked to find that the words whole church are used in the Bible. God is not interested in just having a few key members. He wants the whole church, Acts 15, verse 22, to be involved. At the end of Acts 15, skipping down now to the information in verse 41, Paul here talks about strengthening the churches, the congregations. Luke tells us that Paul was interested in, Paul believed, that there was a need to encourage members in the body of Christ. Sometimes in a local congregation, there are people who are discouraged. I once heard a preacher say that in any assembly, 80% of the people who are there are going to be struggling with something. They need some kind of encouragement. It's sad to say. But there have been some preachers, some elders, some others in a local congregation who have tried to do nothing but break down, do nothing other than break down and destroy. That's not right. God wants his church to be strengthened. Acts 16, verse 16:5. When things are operating, when things are going correctly in the church, the Bible says a couple chapters later, in that same chapter, one chapter later, Acts 16, verse 5, that the church is going to be established or strengthened. Then a couple chapters later, Acts 18, verse 22, you have there a reference to association, the rich association and fellowship that is available in the church. When we begin to look at how the Bible describes the church, we begin to get several images. One of which is that the church, which was established by Jesus, is the greatest organization on earth. Sometimes a person says, well, I wish I could be part of that group. I wish I could join this organization. I wish I could be selected for this particular club. The greatest organization on earth is available to us. And the Bible says that each one, young, old, male, female, rich, poor, smart, ignorant, is able to be part of that group. The Lord's church, though, is by no means the only organization that is found on this earth. If you were to look at this word church as we're doing this morning, you would find that it does not always describe the church in the sense that we're using it. 3 times in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19, Acts 19 verses 32, 39, and 41, you have this word which is translated church. It there describes a mob. Oh, there's an assembly. But the assembly is an unruly group of people. So when we think about the word church, generally it describes the followers of Christ, the members of his body. But there are a few times, as we see from Acts 19, that that is not the case. We can be part of many different groups in life. But if we're not part of that greatest group, the church, we're going to lose out. We're going to lose all. Because salvation is found in the church, the devil's not happy about it. The devil wants to destroy the church because he knows what it is. Hence in the book of Acts, the next time we come to the word church, chapter 20, verses 17 and 28. The Bible there says that Paul called for the elders, going back to Acts 14, verse 23. Paul called for the elders that served at the congregation known as Ephesus. Paul told these men that from within themselves, from within their own ranks, within that own local congregation, apostasy was going to come. That local congregation was going to be attacked by error. And Paul said, you need to watch. You need to be prepared. You need to stand against the religious error that's going to come from within your own ranks, and you need to feed the church what's right. It needs to be protected, Acts 20, verse 28. The church which was established by Christ was worth the Lord's life. It was worth his terrible pain and suffering he experienced, the great agony that he went through on the cross. And because the church is so valuable, the Bible, as it uses this word translated church, it uses it in conjunction with service. Romans 16, verse 1. God's people need to be ready to serve in the church. Do we see ourselves as a servant of the church? Do we see ourselves as someone who is truly a servant of the church? If the answer to that question in our life is no, we need to pause and ask why. Why am I not trying to be a servant of the church which was established by Jesus Christ? All too often we find, sometimes it's in the Lord's church, many times it's not. But sometimes we find people who want the church to serve them. You've not done anything for me. They've not done anything for me. I've helped and they've never reciprocated. That's not the right kind of thinking. In Romans chapter 16, verse 4, we find, this is our next church reference, we find a most unusual statement. Here Paul talked about churches, he uses the plural. And Paul refers to the churches of the Gentiles. In the church that was created by Jesus Christ, all are welcome. That's what we see in Romans chapter 16, verse 14. There is not one church for this class. And then over here with another class of people, there is another congregation for them. All are welcome in the church which was established by Christ. And all need to be welcome in the same location. Our world, as we look at it, it has confused and it has complicated what the word church means. But as we start to study the Bible, all we need to do is look at that word church. The Bible is very plain as far as what the church is. In fact, the word church is so simple that the Bible actually, in Romans 16, verse 5, talks about a church meeting in a house. Now think about that passage in light of today's culture. The Bible refers to a church meeting in a house. We have the church assembled here today. If for some reason we would need to have everyone evacuate and go out in the parking lot, based on the Bible, Romans 16, verse 5, we would then say that the church is in the parking lot. We'd leave the building, but the church would be in the parking lot. A lot of people have hang-ups, for whatever reason, about the buildings where Bible-believing people meet. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you go back and you look at history, I think this is United. I've never seen anyone offer anything else. Maybe someone has. But the idea of a church building didn't exist for the first 100 years of Christianity. It was about 130 AD before we find any kind of reference at all to a quote-unquote church building. The word church describes the people. And the Bible makes this point in numerous places, one of which is in Romans 16. Again, Romans 16, verse 16. You may remember there that Paul said, the churches of Christ salute you, or the churches of Christ greet you. Those greetings come from the church, not a building. There's no building that as we drive by it, it says, hello, hi, how you doing? But the greetings come from the people, from the body of Christ. The whole church, same chapter, Romans 16, verse 23, is to be involved in the greetings. That's another important verse. Paul said the whole church expressed a greeting. If this congregation or another congregation decides to send out a congregational sympathy card, do we as an individual, do we as a family think it's important for our name to be on that card? We should. Romans 16, verse 23, that greeting, that salutation came from the whole church. The church needs to be a priority in our lives because it belongs to God. 1 Corinthians. The next time we find the word church in the Bible, Paul refers in that first chapter to the church of God. You see, the church is not ours. No matter who we are, individually or collectively, the church belongs to deity and not a man, a single man. And it certainly does not belong to a group of people. Because the church belongs to God. We have no right to make up the beliefs, the practices, and the doctrines for the church. We know that because in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul said he taught the same thing in every church. Not because it was something he liked, but because there was the doctrine of Christ. Paul makes a similar point in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, where he uses the word church. Now, the Corinthians had some problems. Paul makes that clear as he uses the word church in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. But Paul knew that the church was established by Christ. The doctrine for the church was given by Christ. The church has an obligation to follow that doctrine. And if it does, it is a beautiful body of Christ. The Corinthians were off track. So Paul, as he thinks about them, the church of Christ, he says to them again and again about the church. He speaks in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32, about the church of God. And then as he gets into some of the doctrinal problems, some of the major issues, he talks about the church. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 16, 18, 22, and 28. He comes back and says to the Corinthians, you are the church. You are the body of Christ that has been built and bought. You're the glory of Christ, you should be. And as the church, think about these doctrinal matters. And if that were not enough, in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 11, he takes the church to task in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 4, 5, 12, 29, 23, 28, 34, and 35. And then in those final two chapters of the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 19. As we start looking at all these passages, consider again how different they are from how people describe the church in our time. Oh, we go to church. I went to church. We have a church. The church today was cold. I suggest that the people in the world have almost no inkling at all as far as what the church is. Christians should understand that the church is the body of Christ, the place where we have fellowship with Christ. The church is the place where we access Christ and have all spiritual blessings. It is, and this is a Bible illustration, it is like the ark that Noah saved. Noah was in the ark. The people who were outside the ark were lost. The church is our place of safety. The church is our place of refuge. It's not something to play with. It's not something to toy with. It's not something to say, well, we've got our name on the membership roll, we're in the church directory, and we're good. The church is the most important organization on this earth. Are we a member of it? Membership terms were given by Peter in Acts chapter 2. The people who believed, they were told to repent, to turn their lives around, and with that, they were willing to acknowledge that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. They were told to be baptized into Christ, and they would have the forgiveness of every single sin. And then, as you continue to read down through Acts 2, do you know what you find? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' word, the teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. They understood what the church was. And today, if people understood what the church was, they'd leave behind denominational teaching. They'd leave behind some of the carefree attitudes about the church. We can take it, we can leave it. Our young people, when they head off to college, when they begin to form families on their own, they wouldn't say, well, should we go to services or not? No. You know what the church is. You know how valuable it is. You know that that is the way that you have a connection to Christ, the church. What's our relationship to it? Are we a member of it? Are we a faithful member of it? If the answer to either of those questions is no, will you not rethink, based on what we've studied this morning, the church, its importance, its glory, its necessity, and say, I need to be a member of it, and I need to be as faithful as possible. If we can help you, write your relationship with God. Make sure that you're in a right relationship with God's people. Will you let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?